The following lecture, entitled Allah's Throne Over the Water, was given by Imam W. Dean Muhammad in Atlanta, Georgia in 1983. It is being brought to you by the online Yahoo group, the students of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Please visit us in the Yahoo groups today. For information about the programs and the initiatives of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, please visit on the internet www.newafricaradio.com. That's www.newafricaradio.com. For more available lectures by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, you should visit www.wdmpublications.com. That's www.wdmpublications.com. Thank you. And now, Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Thank you, Brother Imam Muhammad. Dear beloved Muslims, people, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver, the sustainer of all the world. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is nothing worthy of worship except the one Lord, and Muhammad is his messenger. We thank Allah for the opportunity to be here again in Atlanta to address you, the Muslims, and that the guests are friends and supporters who are here today. I wanted to speak to you today on some verses from the second chapter of the Quran under the heading of righteousness. Section 22 it is given, and it begins with the words, "It is not righteousness that you turn your faces toward the east or west." But before going into the comments or commentary on this verse, first we want to see another light or another eye-opener in the Quran that says God's the kingdom, a throne. God first established it upon the water. And you know in the surah and the chapter called the verse called Ayat al-Kursi, Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the throne. In that verse, Allah Most High tells us that His throne extends over the heavens and the earth. Not just water, but it extends over everything. Now, let us go back now and look at what is said of the throne being first established upon the water. Upon the water. Now, what we are looking for here is direction for ourselves as a growing people, as a growing community, people in the process of trying to establish themselves. That's how we have to see ourselves. We are people in the process of trying to establish ourselves, and we have been trying to do that now for over 100 years after freedom, right? After the Declaration of Independence, we have been in the process of trying to establish ourselves. Everything that I'm saying to you, let us try to apply it to our real life and try to get some benefit to our real life, you see. I think sometimes we make a mistake, myself, perhaps the main one, that should acknowledge this problem. We make the mistake of talking and taking for granted that people know what we are relating this to. You know, and we're not always the best speakers. We try to do our best, but sometimes we're so much in a certain spirit that we take for granted that other people in the same spirit, and they know where we're coming from. But my 8 years experience has taught me that people haven't known all the time where I was coming from. And I was saying many things, but they didn't know where to place those things. They didn't know how to relate those things, what I was saying, to the real situation that was actually causing me to speak. that was actually causing me to speak that way, you know. My spirit was coming from a certain experience in certain situation. So I find now that it's best, and God has helped me to see that we have to relate concerns, and we have to tie in the subject matter to the actual reality that is causing us, motivating us, and causing us to address the people in a certain way. So, dear beloved people, when we say the throne, when we repeat God's revelation of the throne being first established upon water, then we have to understand that the meaning of water. What is water? Who can say for sure that his insight is correct and his insight is the only interpretation? You know, there's nothing so clear cut in the Quran to enable us to make such statements. But we can come to some kind of general conclusion. Let us first examine the concept of water. Water. You know, water is most of the time an attribute or a symbol for something in human life that is good. But it's also used sometimes for something that is bad. Like I recall parents, especially mothers, having a hard time getting the child to obey. Say, hey, what's wrong with you, boy? You got water on your brains? So, you know, sometimes water is used derogatorily, right? Derogatorily, instead of as a compliment, you see. So, what we have to understand is that water is life. The world needs water. Water is life. You know, we think of a people without understanding, without certain sensitivity, as being a dead people. And we think of the desert as being a dead land in the Bible, and even in some of our geography books, the desert is called what? Wasteland. Everything's wasted there, you know. In the Bible, it's called also barren land. Barren land. And you know, a woman who can't produce is also called a barren woman, right? A barren woman means she's not fertile. She can't produce. So when we think of water as sensitivities, and readily we can see that water is a body that is very sensitive. The only time it loses that sensitivity is when it freezes. If you freeze it up, then it loses that sensitivity. But as long as it's not frozen, it's highly sensitive. The least little touch is registered all over the surface of the water. The least little touch. So this sensitive makeup in people that the symbol water identifies is something that has to be in order to get life started. It's a necessary condition for establishing some kind of order. After all, a throne stands for what? It suggests some kind of order, doesn't it? Throne. It says, and the throne was first upon the water. So throne suggests some kind of order, some kind of establishment, some kind of government. It suggests a government. And it says, and the throne was first upon the water. Then we must understand then that this water as a symbol for our sensitivities, for our sensitive makeup, is a necessary condition for the establishing or for the building of some kind of order, some kind of government, some kind of established life. If people are insensitive, you can't begin to establish them. Before we can come to any kind of sense of ordered life and directed life, there must be sensitivities among us, in us, for that kind of concern. When the sensitivities are there, then we preach what is the need. Most of the people who are not established, it's because they have grown insensitive. It's because they have become dry of the water of human feelings, dry of the water of human sensitivity. And if we can bring that back to them, then we can begin. But it shouldn't stop there. We have to keep going. Once we get the people to respond to human feelings, to human sensitivity, then that has to be taken on. You have to proceed. You have to go on. It has to be taken to its natural resting place. And human sensitivities rest when they see and understand the basic needs for the society. When we find what is basic in the needs of society and the needs of human beings, and we see something being done about that, we see that the essentials of life are recognized and that our community is doing something about the essentials of life, the necessities of life, then those sensitivities rest. But as long as we don't see that kind of concern or that kind of mind carried on to its natural resting place, we still remain disturbed, still remain in a situation where we are not at rest. We can't be at rest because we don't see this kind of spiritual atmosphere or this spiritual mind or this spiritual feeling in us. We don't see it recognizing what is essential, what is basic in our lives. And that has been the fault for many of us. That has been the fault with us. We haven't been able to carry the spiritual life to its natural resting place. And the throne was first upon the water. You know, Genesis in the Bible, Genesis began with a void, darkness and void, and somehow water comes into the picture, right? And it says, and there was darkness upon the deep. And God said, let there be light. And the Spirit moved on the face of the water. Well, this to me tells us that the natural place for starting this new generation was in the water. It says, and darkness was upon the deep. It didn't say, and darkness was upon the depths of the sea, or darkness was upon the water. It didn't say that. It just says, darkness was upon the deep. It says, and the Spirit moved along the face of the waters. So we have to understand then that the deep was water. And the Spirit moved upon the face of the water. So then God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the beginning of it, right? That's Genesis. Now look at the regeneration. The regeneration comes like this. Says, and the people were living as though everything was okay. They were living in their good times and taking life for granted. But there was a person among them who was worried. And his name was Noah. May God's peace be upon him and all his prophets. And so Noah, he was not happy. Everybody else was happy. Everything was okay with them. But Noah, he was unhappy because God had caused him to see that the state of their life, the direction that their life was taking, was going to bring them to trouble. He saw that a flood was coming. And, you know, if you look at his name in the Bible, Noah, another pronunciation of his name in the New Testament is Noe. Noe. Noah and Noe, right? And if you do a little research, study the word, you'll find that it means new. New. It means starting all over again. A new beginning. Actually, the man himself, his name indicates a rebirth or regeneration. And we know that the flood and Noah's life symbolizes and names that new period, that new beginning. We call the regeneration after the flood. But these people were, if these people were on the wrong course, in which they were, and it took a flood to bring about the situation necessary for them to begin again, then we should understand that water was a necessity, that their feelings had dried up, their human feelings had dried up. They had given themselves to good times, drinking, playing, partying, just having good times. Excuse me, I have a little sniffle here, a little cold, so occasionally you see me wiping here. And had forgotten the real bond, the human bond of human respect for each other, human care, human civility. They had forgotten about that. You know, when you get to having good times and your life is caught up in just having a good time, you become insensitive to the concerns of your fellow man. You see? And then God has to cause something to happen to put you in a situation where those senses come back to life. Those senses have to come back to life. And it seems that in this case, in the case of Noah, what happened is their sensitivity for a good time builds up. Builds up and builds up and builds up. And it takes them to such extremes that it kicks them into another gear. It kicks their good time feeling into another gear. And it says, hey, something wrong. It's good times that cause us to forget each other. Good times have made us forget the old, have made us forget the children. Good times have made us forget the suffering brother and the suffering sister. So it's the same life, isn't it? It's the same life that we gave to good times is now telling us you have gotten off the track. You have verged off, you've drifted off from the real, basic, or essential concerns of human beings. So go back, the same feeling. So Noah saw it as a flood. The waters rise and rise and rise. Now, bear with me a few minutes, because I think this insight is very, very helpful to us. Excuse me a minute. The condition that is brought on is something that happens naturally. It's already, we could say programmed by nature. It's already programmed into the life of the human being by nature. That you can only go so far with these superficial feelings. With these feelings that are suspended, that are out of touch with life basis. You can only go so far with these feelings, and then the same feeling is going to make you very uncomfortable. It's going to say, hey, you drift way off course. Carry this back to where it belongs. So now let's look at another situation of the water where the prophet Jonah was out at sea. And Jonah was thrown off the boat where he was very comfortable into the water. And when he was thrown off the boat into the water, then he had to fight for his own survival. And in battling for his own survival, he remembered that there was a Lord, that there was a God. You see? So God caused a big fish to swallow him. Then in the fish, he cried out in prayer to God. And God calls the fish to deliver him to the shore. Deliver him where? take him back to basis. Deliver him to the shore. So the fish took him back to the shore. Now let us again come back to Noah. Noah was told to build a ship, right? See here the ship again. Noah was told to build a ship. Say, hey, there's coming a flood. The waters are going to rise. Everybody's going to be grounded. So build a ship to save you and your fellows and your folk. So Noah began to build a ship. Thank you very much. Noah began, excuse us, Noah began to build a ship, and the ship was to house the light that was to be saved to regenerate the world. So God told him to get animals of each kind, male and female, so they'll be able to mate and keep up their generation after the flood. Says that in the boat that he built, when the waters began to subside, it rested upon the mountain, right? Upon the mountain. Now, if you can understand that mountain as being a throne, it rested upon the mountain. So the mountain there was a throne, the symbolic of a throne. So the Quran and Bible speak of mountains as governments, symbolic of governments, right? Yes. So we know mountains mean different things, but one of the main meanings of mountain is government. We have to look now at some things that happened before the waters were subsided, before the waters began to subside. The Quran and the Bible tells us that water that was restricted to certain places because of the rising of water broke out of those restricted boundaries and mixed in with water. So here, okay, thank you, okay. So here, we have to understand that waters that were intended to be separated were forced to be mixed up together, right? See, in the beginning, the scripture says, God created the heavens and the earth and everything, and He caused light to be and separated the light from the darkness. He caused the water to be and separated waters from the waters. Right? God separated waters from the waters. But here in the flood, what God had intended to be separated comes together. So you get all kind of water coming together, right? Now, when all kind of water come together, that's not a good situation. That's a bad situation. But if water had died or had lost its nature and was not valuable as water, was not living, was not existing as water, then bringing waters together, putting waters in a bad situation, it's like bringing people who have different kinds of concerns, who have their private kinds of concerns, but forcing them to come together and feel each other's concerns. It's good for them if they have become, in their own private quarters, insensitive to each other. God liked for them to be distinct. He liked for them to be distinguished one from another. You know, maybe my concern is that I don't be bothered by the presence of prostitutes, or by the presence of liquors, by the presence of loud talk and rowdiness. You know, that might be my sensitivity, right? But now, if I have gotten to the point where I can't see that I also have a duty, an obligation, to do something about people in that situation, then maybe God will cause their concerns to be brought so close to me that I can't escape. We'll force the waters to come together. They say, hell, I can't stand this. What is this? And I can't get away from it. Prostitutes and the loud music, the rowdy life is all around me and I can't escape. God is forcing the sensitivities to come together. Now they see me, they're near me, and I'm complaining against them. When they were by themselves, in their own private quarters, no one was around them like me to complain about their condition, to complain over that situation. But now that we've been forced together, they hear a different kind of sensitivity. Hey, what all this love? Why do we don't want this in our neighborhood? We can't stand this kind of thing. These people are vulgar, these people are low, etc., etc. Right? And they are looking at us and hearing that, and they're wondering now, well, maybe that's right. But then they won't don't like us because we have been guilty of not caring anything about them. We were living in our comfortable towers, and we cared nothing about them. So they don't like to hear us say anything, but now at least they hear a different voice. They hear a different concern. So it makes them begin to look at themselves now in a different light. All right? So it says the waters, the cisterns broke, right? This is what the scripture tells us. The cisterns broke. The pressure of water became so heavy as it rose, as it began to rise, that it causes systems to break. And when the system broke, the waters broke out of their boundaries. So can you imagine now, just try to imagine a flood happening right here, or in some other town, in your town, and the waters become so heavy that the cisterns break, and here you have creek water mixing with river water, you have well water mixing all, everything mixing all up. You have toilet water mixing up too. The plumbing breaks through it, right? When this situation is created, the toilet water backs up. Toilet water starts backing up into the plumbing line, into the sink, into the bathtub. You see? And you got all this stuff all mixed up. You see? And you want the waters to rest, don't you? Hey, help these waters hurry up and rest. We don't want that flood situation. We want the waters to subside. This is the way our life is. And that's the first thing we have to deal with. When people become insensitive to each other, don't care about each other and not worried about each other, and have drifted away so far that you stay in your place, I stay in my place, I don't give a about you and don't worry about me. When that kind of situation exists, then people are not helpful to each other anymore. They don't fulfill their obligation to their fellow man anymore. And pretty soon the sensitivities rise and rise, they get higher and higher until there's this flooding, this coming together of these people. They have to face each other, right? They begin to face each other, confront each other. And when that happens, we have to establish some kind of order, some kind of peace, some kind of direction for ourselves. We have to find a way that will satisfy the situation, that will quiet things and enable everybody to move out far forward, to go out forward in a good way or in a way that satisfies the majority. That's the situation we have. So we shouldn't expect success to come to us who are unestablished. And I don't think anyone will argue with me over that. We admit that we are an unestablished people. So we can't expect order and establishment to come to us from material concerns only. We just can't get up and say, oh, that's organized for economic progress. We know that's the thing that's lacking in us most. We have as much spirit as anybody else. Our morals, I believe, are as good as most people. But where we are lacking is in this economic foundation. We don't have an economic foundation. We live on the investments, resources, the investments of other people. And they take off our own resources and employ our own resources. And we exist as nothing but a community of buyers, consumers, right? Workers and consumers. So we know this is the real problem. But now if we try to solve our problem with an economic program, it won't work. Now, I'm going to take off the coat. I had it on. I have a little cold. And I put on the coat because I was feeling chilly. But now I'm warming up a little bit. When you get to talking, the pressure on you, you warm up a little bit. Well, now I feel comfortable with it all. Now, we have already tried to go right to the problem for a solution. It didn't work. Look back on the efforts of Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey found the need to use religion, a spiritual basis, to gather people. But once he gathered them, he directed them toward what? Business growth, business development, the material development. That was the right way. The Nation of Islam, as it was called, did the same thing. It used spiritual basis as the first condition or the grouping ground. And then once it got the people together upon spiritual basis, then it began to direct the people into the material development, right? The Nation of Islam did the same thing. But how come we fail? How come Garvey failed? How come the Lost Foundation of Islam failed? There's some, I'm sure, perhaps even here there may have few, who will say the Nation of Islam didn't fail. You're the cause of us losing. Yeah, they will say that, you know, and I ain't gonna fight them. But most of us know that the Lost Foundation of Islam failed. When I came into the leadership, the material foundation, the business foundation, was shattered. There was nothing, hardly at all, but just a superficial show of business involvement. But actually, for real substance, for real established operations, no, that did not exist. So how come? We want to know what happened. How come we went wrong? What happened? God said, and the throne was first established on the water. Now, Elijah Muhammad didn't get us just by merely saying, hey, we need business. Come on, black people, let's get together and do business. He would have never gotten that many people. He said, God has come to condemn the white man, to bring the white man to court, to give you justice. Why, that struck home. And he said, God loves you. You heard that before, haven't you? I would say, God loves you. Isn't that fishing in the waters? Said, God loves you. Said, in fact, he loves you so much that he left his paradise. He left his kingdom coming in search of the lost found. Isn't that what he said? Doesn't that ring a bell? That God sent his only begotten son? His own son, he in the embodiment of his own son, left heaven and came down into the realm of sinners to save the lost souls. Right? So it rings a bell. So see, the fishing tactics is the same. So he said, God loved us so much that he had a son for the express purpose of getting in under disguise, getting into the black community of America in disguise. Say, as a black man, he would be detected. So he had to take on upon himself a white body, a body that would fool white people. He had to look like the white people. Say, and then he could get in and do his work as a thief in the night and go out without being detected And when they detect just as what had happened, it'd be too late, the seed would have been planted. This is what we were taught, right? Well, you know the same stuff is in the Bible, right? Excuse me for calling this stuff. I didn't mean to say that. Same idea, the same line is in the Bible. So, yeah. Excuse me. You don't mind me. I hope you don't mind me. See, when I'm doing this, I'm relaxed. And I hate to think that some of you all are uncomfortable. See, that makes me worry. So I hope you're comfortable. All right, if we started out on the right foot, what happened? It was proper. In order to bring people back to life, back to be sensitive and sympathetic toward each other, it was right to put them in water, or to bring water to them, then what went wrong? Here is what went wrong. We didn't establish the throne on the water. See, first you have to establish the throne on the water. Then you can extend your basis. Garvey didn't establish the throne on the water. Garvey came with religion, but Garvey had not the spiritual insight. He had not the religious knowledge to establish his following in religion. There were no match for the established churches of America. The learned people among the ministers, they could hear that what he had was not enough. His people could sense that the spiritual direction was not clear. Likewise with the Nation of Islam. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, God is black. God is man. The devil is white. The devil is man. So you were once with God, and the white man took you from God. Now you have to return back. That's good. That's good bait. That's good. And he said, this is your book. The whole Quran is the book of the Muslims. He said this. And he began to teach us to pray and to clean up and to live a decent life and to live a life of Islamic virtues. Don't grow, don't drink. Don't go to rowdy parties. Don't give in to these weak inclinations to participate in the sins of the world, right? He did all that. But then he asked us to build a nation that will provide employment opportunities, business growth to the community. Now, when we got into that, it brought out the defects. It brought out the defects. It showed up the shortcomings of the first development. The spiritual development had not been complete. It was not good enough. If it was good enough, we would have survived the test of business and material involvement. Now, we don't like to give much credit to Christians, many of us who are Muslims. But, you know, you have to admit that Christians must have a pretty good spiritual grip while getting heavily involved in material development. Look how spiritual the Catholic Church is. But the other side of their life that is kept secret most of the time is a life of heavy material involvement. They represent an empire of great material wealth. This is the fact. This is the truth. And the Pope is not only a head or leader of a spiritual community, But more importantly, the Pope is the leader of great and vast capital investment, capital holdings. Is that not true? Yeah, you know about that. And he managed to keep the spiritual life intact. I remember being in the house. I want you to see these things. We're talking about what God said. The throne was first established on the water. And we tried to, in the short time that we've had, to show you what was meant by that statement. And now we are trying to show you how come we fail to transfer or to progress our life from spiritual basis to material basis. All right? Excuse me. Let me go back to 1963, January 10th. I was released from prison on parole. I was given parole after about 14, 15 months in prison. My brother, who was then assistant supreme captain or supreme captain, I don't know, because he had both the titles. Sometime he was assistant supreme captain, and one time, I remember, or two times, he was supreme captain. I don't know which one he was, but he was one or the other. He came for me along with Sharif, who was, no doubt, most likely the supreme captain. Sharif was the supreme captain for most of the time. He came with Raymond Sharif and some other members of the family to pick me up from Sandstone, Minnesota prison, correctional facility there. And you know what the first thing he told me? He and Sharif, glad to see you coming out. Said, we sure need you. Said, the Nation of Islam's in bad shape. Now, this is what I was told. Say we're about to be broke. That's what I was told. Say, maybe you can help us with daddy. That's what I was told. Now, can you imagine somebody who's been in jail all that time? And with a wife, too? And haven't gone home to the wife yet? Really thinking that if I don't make it here, I don't make it there, one place I sure can make it is with daddy. And then I'm hearing this kind of talk. So all of a sudden my spirit just dropped, my heart dropped, you know. So I said, what's wrong? I said, we just spent too much money. Say, we spent too much money. So all the money is spent out. So I came back, and I saw that really the thing that was threatening us was not that. It was the drift away, the drifting away from the kinds of sensitivities that I knew to be in the makeup of Muslims under the Elijah Muhammad. The teaching of love for each other. The teaching of no big I's and no big U's. The teaching of let there be no importance among the laborers of Islam. See, when I came back, I didn't see that. I saw all that gone. And I saw people who once were clearly separated from the mind and makeup of the world, looking like the world. Captains, ministers, dressing up looking like Superfly people. MGT sisters trying to outdo each other, see who could wear the most furs. I was at the Army Night of Muhammad, and all them furs came in. Yeah, I'm telling you what I saw. All the furs came in. I said, what in the world has happened? I listened to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talk, and I said, well, he's still the same man. So what's wrong with the people? Yeah, he was still talking about everything. He hardly would say two or three sentences without mentioning Allah. So I said, well, the problem ain't him. So what's wrong with these people? So I came to the conclusion that we weren't ready for the material base. We hadn't established ourselves upon the water yet. The vision wasn't clear. The direction wasn't clear enough. The concept of religious life was not full or was not complete enough. Too many questions were left to be answered. Too much mystery was in our lives.